The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after Trinity is written in Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house, she has hewn her seven pillars, she has slaughtered her beasts, she has mixed her wine, she has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in Ephesians chapter 2. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. When one of those who reclined at table with Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But Jesus said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought five yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sermon for the second Sunday after Trinity is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. Jesus said in parable, "And at that time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.'" Thus far the text. Well, do you know what the problem with this text is? nothing. The text is Holy Scripture. It is the Word of God, and it remains true no matter what society and fallen man does. The problem is not with the text, the problem is with the people. Everyone who is present today surely needs to hear this Word of God proclaimed to them, but it's really those who are not present, and especially those who have not been here in years. Along with you, this text is really for them. It just goes to show that in order to receive word and sacrament ministry from the Lord, you have to be present. And how do you get to where word and sacrament are given? God's invitation draws you. When the Lord delivered these words, he was speaking to the Jewish people, the people who had been chosen by God, the people who had been invited to feast sumptuously with the Lord, but instead they rejected his invitation. But just because the Lord speaks to the Jews specifically with these words doesn't mean that they don't apply to you as well. You are also mentioned within his words, for you are the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Did you ever think that you'd get mentioned so eloquently by the Lord? The highways and hedges continue to be canvassed by the Lord's servants, but simply because those God originally invited excused themselves, and then God invited the Gentiles to come in to fill his house, doesn't mean that this further invitation is an automatic ticket into heaven. To be invited is one thing. It's when the invitation draws the one invited to actually partake of what is promised through the invitation. That is when the invitation completes itself. But to be invited and then disregard it, then there's no partaking. The promise extended through the invitation remains a promise in need of completion. Nothing is truly received because the invitation did not complete itself. It was looked upon as not important enough. Even if the invitation promised the most important thing that one could ever possess, when the invitation is disregarded, the one who disregarded it has then not benefited anything from what it was promising to give. Now one can understand that even though the invitation was rejected by the Jews and further extended to the Gentiles, an invitation is an invitation. And as the Lord now sends his fully assured promise out to be delivered throughout the world, to not be gathered by his invitation is to reject his invitation. And no benefit is received. My friends, in Christ Jesus, all things are now ready. Nothing is lacking. It is finished. God has made full satisfaction. He has given his Son for you. Christ Jesus has won and secured forgiveness, life, and salvation. God has ushered in the age of life by the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus. And still, God gives. He gives his body and his blood broken and shed on the cross for you to eat and to drink here and now in time, that you, through God-given faith, would receive him for the forgiveness of your sins. All things are now ready. There is nothing to add. God has made the sacrifice. The temple, built with brick and mortar, is torn down. It is no longer needed. There is nothing to wail about at those ruins. God has made full and unlimited atonement. Yet sin-filled mankind still makes excuses. This is the only day to sleep in. Whatever the sport is really important to be playing on this day. Well, the sporting events on TV begin at 9:30 a.m. here on the West Coast on Sundays. Church is boring, and sin-filled mankind doesn't like to be bored. Extreme efforts will be made to get to the doctor or to go to some special occasion because those things are important. Hours of boredom will be endured just so that in the end, a good sale on a product can be had, or a new blockbuster movie can be seen, or an amusement park ride can be completed, which only usually lasts a little more than 90 seconds. But ask about coming to be fed by God. Now, all of a sudden, oh, there's no time. That's pretty shallow. And the excuses are a sad thing. But who of sinful mankind, who of you, has not sat in a sanctuary and wished that the service was already over? Which of you has not been bored in church and daydreamed not just of satisfying a hungry stomach or figuring out the busyness of the week ahead, not just of fame and fortune and dreams come true, but which of you has not sat in the pews and dreamed of evil, even plotted to sin? You've lusted and coveted, lied and blasphemed within the very sight of the altar, while the word of God is being proclaimed from the lectern, or his great love is being proclaimed from the pulpit. You know, it's not just those who are missing who are guilty. Excuses are cheap and plentiful. Thus do proud and arrogant men think that they can prey upon or take advantage of the generosity and patience of God, who hasn't wanted the best of both worlds, the pleasures of the flesh Honor among men, luxuries, freedom, and constant amusement, right along with the joys and peace of heaven. Yet who is ready to lose his job, his family, his reputation, and his wealth for the kingdom of God? By the grace of God, be repenting and believing. Hear the warning. God is not mocked. It's a warning to be following through on partaking of what is assured and promised in the invitation. Now is the hour of salvation. Tomorrow may never come. No one buys a piece of land without seeing it first. No one buys 5 yokes of oxen without first testing them. And the man who married the wife, both should be in the Lord, and one should not trump the other to take the other apart from the Lord. God is not fooled by superficial acts and lip service, by going through the motions or seeming to be pious before men. He is not appeased by excuses. He desires mercy and not sacrifice. He desires the circumcision of the heart. Stop playing games with your fate, planning to sin now and repent later. Stop posturing before men and spewing lies like David, pretending to be a noble hero for bringing the war widow Bathsheba into his house. Stop thinking that your sins are reasonable and bring no guilt at all, or that you have some special relationship with God where he indulges you and winks at your sins. By the grace of God, be repenting and believing. There is but one case of deathbed repentance in all of God's Holy Scripture. So that while no man should despair and think that it's too late, neither should anyone presume to have time. The invitation, which contains the promise, is not for tomorrow. It's for today. It's a right now reality. All things are ready. God has done all things for you. He has taken up your flesh, lived and suffered, died and rose again for you. He has endured hell's fury and fire. He has left the enemy spent and defeated. He has crushed the serpent's head and dissolved the chains of guilt and shame that ever try to hold you down. He has flung open wide the gates of heaven and removed the guards for those who partake of what is promised in the invitation. For you, repenting and believing, the flaming sword of Eden has been quenched in the blood of the Lamb. The angel of death passes over. You are safe. There is no one to accuse you, no one to keep you out, nothing to stop you from this victory and joy, which is given to you for free. You didn't come here of your own power and choice. Blind, maimed beggars do not call the shots. No, the Lord's words are clear. you've been compelled to come in. The Holy Spirit drew you here, not by your own decision, but by His mercy, by His divine and perfect will. Aren't you glad that you've been brought to hear and to receive what God promises through His invitation? Do not be afraid or sad as soon as you acknowledge yourself to be unworthy. Rather, know that you've been declared worthy through faith alone in the blood of Christ Jesus. As soon as you dwell upon your past sins, believe them to be gone, because Christ fully atoned for them. He who believes will receive remission of sins. That's going to sound familiar to a confirmand for the rest of her life. Come, weak and weary, brokenhearted and lonely, trembling sinners racked with guilt and uncertainty, all things are ready. Come to the feast. It has been made ready for you. The greatest and the least, the outcasts and the losers, the popular athletes and the scholars, the druggies and the rehab cases, the divorced failures and the wealthy executives, come. One and all, come to the feast. Leave behind the temporary things, the baggage. Get lost in the love of Christ that has loved you beyond all telling. The love that merited forgiveness for every single flaw and sin and declares you new through faith alone in Him. By the grace of God, be repenting and believing. Lose yourself to find your true life. Eat and drink without money or cost to you. Be satisfied to the very depths of your soul and never thirst again. You belong to God. His name is upon you. You are baptized, and He abides in you. You are His temple. The earthly highways and hedges are not your home. He brought you here today to His house, to His feast. Come, be wrapped in perfect selfless love. Eat His body, drink His blood, for as He brings you here so that He may abide in you, He brings you here so that you may abide in Him. The very reason Jesus tells this parable is because the man who reclined at table with Him said, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Jesus, in telling this parable, was revealing that the kingdom of God is a here and now reality, and He is the one who brings it through the word, the water, and the bread and the wine. Christ gives all of Himself to you. And in doing so, He gives you His kingdom to be received through God-created faith. Come, Jews and Gentiles, for thanks be to the merits of Christ Jesus, crucified and risen, all things are now ready. Blessed is everyone who eats the bread of life, who eats and resides in the kingdom of God today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.